Today, what is up with this hand? Today, we're talking about part four of our series, how to not get divorced. Not get divorced, but how to not get divorced.
Yes.
Which comes from part four is our, how do you put words together on a podcast?
I don't know.
Constant arguing, see? And I was getting confused with yelling. If you're constantly arguing with your spouse, this episode is for you.
Yeah.
If you like to get up in the morning and yell what you want for breakfast, this is for you. If you go down there and get what you asked for and still yell and say, thank you. Thank you for making this oatmeal. This is for you. If you're mad at people who don't argue because you think something's wrong with them, this is for you.
Mainly those people.
Yeah, I feel like this has an undertone of road rage. Probably has an undertone of, you have road rage. This is for you. All right?
Because you probably argue with your spouse if you have road rage.
Let's get into it. Welcome to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast. We're back for another week. We're two people in this marriage have become better than one because we get a good reward for our labor. And if one was to fall, the other one would be right there to pick them back up.
Amen.
I'm Ronald Corsi Jr.
And I'm Chelsea Corsi. And we are still married.
The Big Eight, Chels.
Yeah.
The Big Eight. When we started this, we were the Big Seven. It was a little seven.
Yeah.
But the Big Eight is the number of new beginnings.
That means
we're about to transition.
We are.
Where do you think we're going, Chels?
I don't know. We'll see.
I certainly don't know. I'm Abraham over here, Chelsea. The Lord says, get on away from these people and go to a place that I'll show you.
Yeah.
He don't tell him where he's going.
Yeah.
He just says, I'll show you. Like, man, the Lord, he's so funny.
You know, I actually dreamt of fish the other night. And usually that means someone is pregnant, yourself or someone else. Yes. And I looked up like the meanings of having a dream about fish, and it was very distinctive. Like when I woke up, I was like, that I just dreamt about fish.
Yes.
And the reason it wasn't actual fish swimming, everybody had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and then I was super hype about a tuna sandwich.
Okay.
Like, yes, yeah, like we all sat down. I was like, oh, I got tuna.
Tuna.
And like I was just so hyped that I had tuna. Like, because everybody, I thought I was expecting peanut butter and jelly, which I love too.
Yes.
But yeah, when I woke up, I was like, why was I hype about a fish sandwich?
It's very funny.
Yeah, but it stood out that it was fish specifically. Yes,
specifically.
And
fish.
I was like, yeah, I wonder if somebody's.
Listen, there's Sunkist. I'm saying Sunkist. Starkist. Is that the fish people?
Yeah.
They about to get a free advertisement right here. Because that daggone.
Oh, yeah.
That tuna creation, sweet and spicy. You throw it into your normal tuna,
uh-huh,
and it makes it delicious.
Yeah. And it just is great for salad.
Yeah.
Because right. Even if you want to just like pack your lunch and you just pack a packet and then just some lettuce.
See, if people were true, you know, arguers, they would argue right there and just
they
say,
would.
No, it isn't.
They would.
I don't like tuna like that. It's like,
yeah.
I wasn't saying that. You were saying, no, I wasn't saying that.
That's the part. It's not always worth it.
It's almost.
Sometimes you literally can keep your opinion to yourself.
Oh,
it is possible.
See, it's different between disagreeing and arguing.
Yeah.
Arguing is just, you just saying whatever you can say to keep it going. Let's keep it going. I'm going to win this. I'm going to be the last word.
Yeah.
You're going to be the last person in this house when she leave your behind, sir.
Or when he leaves your behind, ma'am.
Yeah.
Keep
getting arguing. Let's get into it.
All right.
So part four of our How to Not Get Divorced series. Constant arguing.
Yep.
Yes.
There is a quote here from, we are taking these top 10 reasons from an article from marriage.com. So we have a blurb here about constant arguing. From bickering about chores to arguing about the kids, incessant arguing kills many relationships. Couples who seem to keep having the same argument over again often do so because they feel they're not being heard or appreciated. Many find it hard to see the other person's point of view, which leads to a lot of arguments without ever coming to a resolution. This can ultimately be a cause of divorce for 57.7% of couples.
Wow.
And I do want to clarify, they're not giving percentages to like equal up to 100%. They are saying that, you know, people list multiple reasons when they get a divorce. And so 57.7% of the couples list this as one of their reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good to be said that people probably are having the same arguments.
Yeah, I peeped that too.
Yeah, to say that they feel like they're having the same argument because they it's still an issue. Like,
it was not resolved.
That's at the heart of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're definitely not being heard on the level that they need to be for actual change to happen.
Or sometimes I think we can mistake not being heard. How am I trying to say this? Sometimes I think we can mistake no change,
mm-hmm,
with not being heard.
That's fair.
You know, like sometimes it's just like, well, you're still doing it, so you must not have heard me.
So you must not have heard
me. You heard me. Well, and the other person may say, I heard you and right, I understand, mm-hmm, but I don't agree.
I don't agree.
And I'm not going to change this.
That's,
like,
yeah, that's a killer.
Or we're not going to do that.
Right. That can be a killer. That's true, especially for the younger generations. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be clear. We are African Americans,
mm-hmm,
and we came from parents and grandparents that had really large families. A fight to them compared to a fight to this generation is like, what is a fight when you have 15 people living in a house that has three rooms in it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like, what do you mean fight? A fight is not a fight. It's an afternoon. Like, okay. Yeah, we were just having an afternoon in here. It's like, hey, did you see that?
We're just
that
having
brawl?
An afternoon.
It's like, did you just see that brawl? It's like, what brawl? What do you mean? Like, fighting for them and their mindset is like, it's kind of ingrained into it. Mm. Whereas this generation, like, you know, we grew up with
Barney.
If you had,
I love you.
if you had two or three siblings, like, that was like, you know, at most,
yeah,
I got you know, three other siblings. It's four of us, mm-hmm, and that's like, oh, that's a good amount of y'all.
Yeah.
For other people, it's just like, just me or just my other sibling.
Right.
Y'all ain't gonna be doing no
fighting.
That's
so true.
You understand?
And I mean, I'm an actual only child.
Yes. So what happens is they're used to people not agreeing with them. Mm-hmm. You know why? It's because every time I say something, I have 15 other opinions about,
yeah,
what I said.
And man, there's so much to be said about that because. And you have to be forced to figure out how to work it out or
right,
let it go.
Right. But what I was saying is, like, when you have all those opinions flying, it's like, that's not even a fight to you. Whereas,
right,
you know, when it's just you, especially as only child, this is why people always say only child syndrome. It's, mm-hmm, like, you're kind of just used to getting your way because they're your parents. Like, they ain't trying to, you ain't going to be arguing with them.
Mm-hmm.
How you feel is how you feel. And when you have one sibling, it's like, oh, that's just one opinion. That's,
mm-hmm,
just how they are.
Mm-hmm.
When you got 20 other people over there and y'all always arguing, now you take that into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you stronger in the fact where it's like, well, an argument is nothing to me. It's,
yeah,
literally an afternoon.
Well, yeah, that's
and
the bad part of
that's
it.
That's the bad part.
Yeah.
It's good in certain facts where,
mm-hmm,
it's like, well, you're used to disagreeing and, mm-hmm, and what is that word? I can't even think of the word. Not contention. Conflict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? You're good with conflict. It
and
doesn't
you're not
going to
be so thrown off by it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
You're not going to be thrown off by having an argument and it being like, oh, this is the end of the world.
When I tell you so many people, let me make sure, were you done?
Yeah, go ahead.
So many people, like, I'll talk to people and they'll tell me they're having like this big issue, you know?
Yes.
And then, like, when they tell you what the issue is, it's like, you know, no shade. But it's just like, oh, that's what you're so upset about?
Ah.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. We were talking about that with Married at First Sight.
Yes.
We're watching it. We're catching it now. We didn't watch it when it first started. And Lindy and Miguel, one of the couples on there, Lindy is like, she's an overthinker and she tends to panic, mm-hmm, about small things. Like she didn't pack pajamas or something like that.
Yeah.
And she literally spent like 40 minutes in the bathroom trying to figure out what to put on.
Right.
And, you know, meanwhile, Miguel, we found out at the wedding from his sister that he had a very, very rough upbringing.
Right.
And Ron immediately said that may be a problem because he may get tired of her having issues with like nothing.
Right.
You know, like just really flipping out like anxiety,
yeah,
over these small things when he's had real life problems.
Yes, real life issues.
And isn't really like flipping out about nothing. Yes. You know,
yes.
That's marriage.
That is marriage.
Two individuals coming together from two different backgrounds with two different worldviews and just personalities.
Yeah.
And having to become one and having to love each other in spite of the differences.
Yeah.
In character as well as opinion.
Yeah, that's very important.
Yeah.
You can't go up to a guy who's been homeless and trying to complain about the paint color.
Yeah.
In your fifth bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is going to be an issue.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
You saying that just reminded me of our argument.
Yeah. Yes, not to bring the podcast down. Nah. So let's talk. So that's our first question. How do you differentiate between a disagreement and an argument? Chelsea? Yeah.
I would say a disagreement is just two people having two different opinions mm-hmm. and calmly discussing it.
Yeah.
With the intention of finding a resolution that works for both of you. Mm-hmm. Or somebody just deciding to concede to mm-hmm. the other person's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
An argument, I believe it becomes an argument when you become offensive and defensive.
Mm-hmm.
You become defensive because you feel attacked, you know, most of the time when yeah. you're arguing and then you begin to offend. I don't mean offensive as you're on the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean offensive as in you're offending the other person now.
Right.
Like now because you're raising your voice or your body posture changes or you're saying things that are rude or condescending right. or, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, it kind of gets off topic.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, because it goes from, oh, well, you know, I think it's red. Well, I think it's pink, too. That's why your mom is ugly. You know, it's just like, whoa.
You ugly, too.
And you ugly, too, just like your mom. Just like, how did we get here?
First, that's how you know they're growing. You married me.
Right. You can't think I'm ugly. And if you do, why did you settle?
You're stupid. That's why you're stupid. You married
right.
me.
You married me.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, I feel like that's the difference. I feel like that's when it crosses over into, because an argument, in my opinion, always starts as a disagreement.
Sure. That's a good point. I think to be said is that the level, I would say two things about that differentiate is that the level of calm that is attached to it
mm-hmm.
and the result that can lead mm-hmm. to the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the calmness, you know. Having a disagreement is literally just like, oh, I thought we went here. No, we didn't go there. That could be literally, it's not even noteworthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people naturally disagree. You and I, we disagree often, but
mm-hmm.
nobody, there's no anger behind it.
Right.
Right. There's no spite. There's no strife. There's no contention, whatever. There's nothing behind it. It's just we have two different matters of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
An argument literally bolsters all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it has the result behind it. It's like, well, if this argument doesn't go well, something could happen.
Yeah.
I think that's
and it's not
right?
good.
And it's not good. It's never going to be good.
Yeah.
Right. And it could be for the good.
Yes.
Imagine that.
Yes.
Because you having this argument, oftentimes, it doesn't have to be an argument. I'll be honest with you. I would say it matters that you argue, but you don't have to argue at all.
Right.
It matters that you have disagreements that you talk about them.
The communication.
It's the communication.
Yeah.
The pattern of communicating and arguing is like, hey, like this is an aggressive, you know, this is an aggressive thing.
Yeah.
And like it can have good that comes from it, but generally you arguing, it doesn't always have a good result.
Right.
And the result of these arguments typically is a negative thing.
Right.
I don't want to talk to you now.
Right.
I don't want to be around you. You done hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Or you don't respect me. I see you differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like those are the
especially
results of arguments.
Especially if you say stuff you can't take back that are too hurtful.
Yes.
Like
but,
it
yes.
just.
But watch my tone. You hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
I see you differently.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to I see you differently.
Mm-hmm.
You hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And the results of them are different.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually have the same results with a disagreement, but the acceptance of it is what will be like different.
Right. Yeah. Arguments are not as productive typically.
My goodness.
And if they are productive, it's like they are also destructive at the same
yes,
time.
Yes, that's an excellent point.
Yeah. So it really pays off to try not
right.
to argue. A healthy, and we talked about this early on in an earlier episode that healthy, it was a marriage myth mm-hmm. that happy couples don't argue.
Right.
And I actually want to go back mm-hmm. now to that and say, you know what? Happy couples, the myth would be that happy couples don't disagree.
Right.
And then the debunking of that myth would be, yes, you do. Certainly. And probably very frequently. Mm-hmm. But happy couples don't argue.
It's up in the air.
That's up in the air because you don't have to argue. And we don't argue a lot.
We don't argue. That's right.
Which I think actually...
We don't. We really don't.
I almost put the question in here, but then I replaced it with another question. Why do you think we don't argue a lot?
Well, I mean, to be frank, I mean, it's Christ. There's no...
Amen.
There's no other actual reason. It's because if Christ is living inside of you, if you abide with me and I abide with you, it's like, this is deeper than I wanted it to be. But I was talking to the guys today because everything we talk about always comes up in the podcast. And what was the first? It was Matthew 13. He was talking about the sower and seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God planting the word and seeds and how it falls on each ground kind of determines where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be that last seed that gets planted in good ground and yields fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I go to, you know, John 15 and says, I am a true vine.
Mm-hmm.
If you abide in me.
If.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, we abide in him. Cool. All right. We need fruit.
Yeah. So that's the evidence.
That's the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So the fruit of my relationship with Christ is that I love my wife. So I'm going to act like I love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I need that to be something that's real. It's not something I have to work up. It's something that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to yell at my wife in the first place.
Right.
I really don't want to disagree, but I know we have to because that's part of the oneness.
Yeah.
That's a part of the leave and cleave.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, y'all become one thing. You have to disagree.
Right.
Right.
Because you have to.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is me and this is you. How do we become us?
How do we become us?
Like, where do we stand?
Right.
Not just as these separate.
Yes.
And you're not going to, you know, ever agree 100% on everything, but it's more just how do we operate?
How do we operate
in a way that's healthy for both of us?
Right. And to what you were saying is about why we don't argue is that's literally at the heart of every hour, every minute, every second of our relationship. At the heart of it is I am trying to please Christ.
Yeah.
It's like, so how I treat her, you know, the standard for Christ is like the one of the highest standards in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, husbands, you love your wives as I love the church. It's
high
like,
calling.
What? It's like, I'm sorry, he must have mistyped that because I don't know what he's talking about. I can't even love myself the way you love the church. But that's what he calls us to do.
Yeah.
So that being said, it's like, that's the, you know, that's at the heart
mm-hmm.
of why we don't argue all a bunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I also think it's because we are intentional about it though. Cause you and I had a talk early in our relationship. I feel like where like we both had an understanding that like we didn't want to be arguing all the time.
Right.
I do think there is some intentionality to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, God, you know,
has blessed us.
He's in us and he's changing us.
Yes.
You know, and leading and guiding us. But as humans, you know, we have to like fight the temptation to yield to the flesh. And the flesh would say, what did he just say?
Yes. Yes.
You know, and it's like, Christ within me gives me the power.
Yes.
To be able to say, hush, leave me alone.
Yes.
You know, but like. But, you know, I think there also is like an actual, because one of my favorite scriptures, too, is that is God at work within us, both to will and to do his good pleasure.
Philippians 2:13.
Well, praise God. I didn't know where it was. I typically don't.
I only know because I remember you said it.
Yeah. And the reason I love that is because it kind of makes things less stressful.
Yeah.
I'm somebody who always wanted to be like to do well and to do right. Like, I enjoy being obedient. And, you know, of course, I'm not perfect, though, so it don't always pan out. But, like, I like to try to do things the right way most of the time. So I'm someone, it led to a lot of anxiety for me. Because, you know, I've had my moments where I'm just like, I'm just not going to try it all because I'm not going to be able to do it right anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but when... Especially as a Christian, and I grew up in a very legalistic church on one end. My parents went to different churches, but on one end, it was a very legalistic church, and I didn't have an understanding of grace and forgiveness and repentance, you know, that repentance isn't just me leaving after repenting, feeling like, well, I hope he heard me.
Right.
I hope he forgave me. I hope you're not still mad at me, Lord. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
You know, like that's how I used to look at it. Like repentance was like sad to me. Like I would just be like, oh no, you know, like, and what if he does it? Oh no.
Oh no.
You know, and now praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I have more of an understanding of like, no, if you repent, I forgive you.
Yeah.
The end. Yes, I forgive you. You don't deserve for me to forgive you, but I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he casts your sins into a sea of forgetfulness, you know, so praise God for that. And it's like, that's who we're trying to model ourselves after. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, we can't do that in and of ourselves, but it is him at work within us, you know, not just to do what's right, but to actually want to do what's right.
Yes.
His good pleasure, you know, and his good pleasure is that we love as he loves. You know, and love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, keeps no record of wrongs. Yikes.
Uh-oh. You ain't say
is
that.
Not easily angered.
She ain't say that.
This is 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter.
She ain't quote the scripture.
You know, so it's like, you're so funny. So it's like, if that's the love of God, and he says, love as I love you, that's what we're striving for.
Certainly
that's striving. What we're striving for, pressing toward the mark.
Some people just mention I'm getting there, Lord.
I mean, that's what we should be striving toward. We are not always actively striving. But when you look at that, though, the comfort in that scripture, though, is that I'm doing the work in you.
Yes.
If you have given your life over to me.
Yes.
If you invite me in to do the work, you know, okay.
Because you're making me think.
Yeah. Because like if we're open, if we're willing, you know, that's the part. He's not going to intrude. He's not going to force.
If you abide.
If you abide.
And some say if you remain.
Yeah, if you remain.
If you're still here.
If you make that choice.
It goes down and says, without me, you can do nothing.
That's it.
There it is.
But and it's funny because if you look at it from the side of without him, we can do nothing, and you're just trying to do things in and of yourself within your own power, you will prove to yourself over and over again that you are nothing.
Yes, you are so
I literally can't, and I'm a wretch undone, and oh man, I messed up again.
Certainly.
But when you look at it as okay, but I'm every day trying to submit more and more to Christ and allow him to do the work in me.
Yes.
You know, I don't actually have to be strong enough.
No.
I just have to submit to his will and allow him to give me the strength.
My Lord.
Yeah.
I heard Eric Lambert. Shout out to Eric Lambert. He's a spiritual father to me, but he doesn't know me. Where he says, we pray these weird prayers. It's like, when was the last time you prayed for your pastor to be broken? Mm. Literally, Lord, break him so much that nothing but the oil of the Spirit could flow from him.
Jesus.
That's what I said. Oh, I've never prayed that prayer. I'm like, hey, strengthen him, Lord. Make him good.
When God
says in his word, my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Wow.
Which means it's like the weaker you are, the better off you are.
Sheesh.
The more you realize how much you need me, the better off you are.
Sheesh.
And he can only do that. That's why he can't turn out a broken and contrite spirit. He will not turn away.
Yeah.
God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Wow.
The lower you are, the more he can show himself. We could be there all day. Let's come on, Chelsea. Let's.
All right. So I think we don't argue. But it's God that is at work within us, causing us to actually desire not to argue.
There it is.
We don't want to argue.
Nah.
But the flesh does.
Yeah. I got
but the spirit.
Yes.
God's spirit at work within us is like, I don't want that.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I just want to love you down.
Yeah, indeed.
Kiss on your neck.
Okay.
Kiss on your cheeks.
Exactly. So what do you think causes the majority of our arguments?
Well, what happens typically is my heathen ways,
oh, Lord.
they often rear themselves up in our life's goings on. I often offend you because I don't
okay.
No, I don't offend you, but what happens is sometimes I'm inconsiderate and I don't want to say I don't understand you, but I don't always show that I do understand you.
And I can agree with that.
Right. And it's not that I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And here's, okay, let's go even deeper. Because if you convey to me an issue, I have to also put in the adequate response to that issue,
mm-hmm.
which is a twofold thing. Whereas, like, number one, I understand it. Number two, I implement it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what happened, and this is what I'm saying, where I'm not, where the implementation,
mm-hmm.
it isn't always there. Mm-hmm. Like, the understanding is always there.
Right.
I understand where you come from. Great. But if I don't implement it, really, what it's really saying is I don't truly understand or I don't truly care.
Right? Yeah.
So I think where the implementation happens, that's where it's a struggle, because you'll say something to me. I'm like, OK, cool. So if I really, truly heard you, I need to change something mm-hmm. about what I'm doing or how I'm doing it. That shows that I understood. It's not enough to say I understand mm-hmm. and the action doesn't follow.
Mm-hmm.
You told me, hey, because we went over the budget and said, hey, when you're giving away all this, well, I'm sorry, when money is leaving, well, it's all kind of like giving away money, but when all this money is leaving, I just like to know over a certain amount of purchase.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even super literal from you, but I just said, hey, it'll just be literal.
Mm-hmm.
So now when I do, I'm like, I'm letting you know. Because
mm-hmm.
I could just understand, but that's kind of a bad example. But it still proves the point.
It does.
I implemented because you said it, mm-hmm. and I understood it, and I made an action.
Right. You didn't only understand. You
right.
cared that I felt yes. that way, and mm-hmm. you wanted to do something to be helpful,
right.
you know, about it.
Right.
Yeah. No, and I appreciate that. I think on my end, well, first of all, I never think of you as inconsiderate. That is one thing I would never call you.
I agree.
Yeah. But as far as, like, demonstration of...
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you definitely don't want to talk about things as much as I do. And sometimes, like, if there is no response
mm-hmm.
or if you just kind of drop off of the conversation
mm-hmm.
or if there is, like, a lack of implementation, as you said,
mm-hmm.
or demonstration, you know, then I can feel like I wasn't heard or like you don't care. But, like, I've never, you're very considerate. You're very, very considerate.
Yeah.
And I never feel like you're malicious, and that's helpful.
No, I've never been malicious.
No, you're never out here just like, you know what, just to get under your skin.
I'm
just
gonna
to get
some
back
Dolce
at
de leche.
And best ice cream in the history of ice cream. Haagen-Dazs Dolce de leche.
They're getting a bunch of free advertising.
They are. But yeah, on my end, when I look back at our arguments, it's usually just because I can overdo it with, like, choosing when something needs to be said and when it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I also can overdo it with, like, just accepting that something is not going to be what I want it to be.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my assessment.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been seeing that from you.
Okay.
Where, because I know that, you know, we kind of know our issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you've been laying off a little bit.
Oh, I'm glad, because I tried.
Well, I mean, yeah, not like, you know, not in a way where you're being silenced.
Mm-hmm.
And I want that to be clear as well.
Yeah, no.
I'm not trying to, you know, there is a certain time and place, and everything is not an issue that has to always be like, we got to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things like, hey, well, we can wait, and maybe we'll talk about it later. And they're not big issues. And there are some things that literally need to be addressed.
Yeah,
you know.
Period.
But yeah, for me to her, it's like, yeah, well, there are certain things. It's like, we kind of already know where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not make a bigger thing out of certain things than they are.
And for me, I think I was confusing resolution with agreement.
Right.
Like, you still don't agree with me, so we didn't resolve it.
Right.
And it's like, no, the resolution is that we don't agree.
that's the resolve. Enjoy.
And like sometimes, and like dealing with that, there's so many layers to this, and I'm not going to be long-winded, I promise. Number one, that whole thing, that is like not only in like our marriage and our conversations and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
but also just in life for me. Like, I definitely have struggled with just like, okay, you really wanted XYZ, but you're not going to have it, or it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you literally just have to like accept it
yeah.
and stop pressing for it and move on.
Yeah. Wow.
You know? And like, that is definitely, because I mean, in so many different areas, my life does not look the way I thought it would.
Yeah.
But I'm very blessed.
Certainly.
You know, and it's like, if you get so hung up on what you didn't get and what you didn't do and what you don't have, you can't even like appreciate what's there.
Oh, that's satanic.
Mm.
Because, oh my gosh, this is why the Lord tells us not to covet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because we have, it's the idea that I know better than God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's the same thing with the snake in the garden. And yep. You know, and I'm sorry. And I don't mean to cut.
No, you're fine.
But it's just, it's the idea that my life is not what it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, I ordered your steps.
Yeah.
Your life is exactly what it's supposed to be. Apart from the stuff you're doing that you know you ain't supposed to do. That's the caveat.
Right. All right? Right.
Certain things, he's like, hey, could you please stop doing that? And we're like, hey, I'm trying, but hey, hey, man. I got to smoke this,
right?
Little, you know, I got to hit that low. I got to, you know, I got to steal every now and then just
and
to make sure my hands
I'll just
are still
see you
good
in the morning, Lord.
Yes. Apart from that,
yeah.
Well, you shouldn't be doing that stuff anyway.
Right.
If you're in Christ, right? But if you're in Christ, that means exactly where you are is exactly where He has you placed.
And that's and sometimes, you know, it's a Children of Israel moment where it's like, you weren't following me for X amount of time.
Right.
You know, you were doing you. Yeah. So there was a detour.
Certainly.
And I'm always going to bring you back on.
Always.
You know, the detour is going to take you around, but it's always going to bring you back where
always
you were supposed to be the right road to get where you need to go.
He knew about the detour.
He knew that, and he planned for it.
He planned for it.
Because he knew what you were going to do.
Certainly.
He gives you free will.
My God.
But he made allowance for the choices he knew you were going to make.
Yeah, he knows what you're going to do.
Yeah. So like, it's but it can be rough, you know, when you have to accept that, like, my plans were not God's plans.
Yes.
And my wants were not what God
right
had for me.
Right.
But like really trusting God to say, okay, so what it is that you have for me, though, in some way is better.
Right.
You know, and just that idea of success.
Yes.
And yep, productivity. Yep. And just validation.
All of that.
All of that. It's like, you be not conformed to this world.
Certainly.
But
yes,
be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah. The world is going to tell you that this is what.
Yes. This is what success
this
is.
This is what success is. Right. And that you should manifest whatever it is that you want for your life.
Lying.
And that you're going to have whatever you set forth to do.
Right.
In and of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's like, but what happens to the people where it's like, okay, but I literally put all this effort into XYZ and then it didn't happen.
Right.
What did I do wrong?
You didn't manifest.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And it's like, wait, no, if you're in Christ, maybe it's just that God said, I'm keeping that from you because
right
it's not for you.
Yes.
And it may even be detrimental to you.
That's a fact.
But like, my will for your life, not
yes
yours.
Yes. My will, but not thine. Thy will, not my will, Lord.
Yeah. It's rough, though. It's because yes, that's a transformation of your mind to literally die to self.
Yes.
And man, just, all right, well, Lord, okay. I had my heart set on that.
Heart, yes.
You know, it's not going to be an easy thing. It's like, I'm literally heartbroken
right
that I didn't have XYZ or accomplish XYZ, or that I wanted to be on that path and now I have to be on this one, or that I have no clue where I'm going.
Yes.
You know,
certainly.
I was so sure about what I was doing and now I'm just completely lost
mm-hmm
and in limbo. But God is not in limbo.
Yes.
As you said, it's like
certainly
he already said
he
all
already
that
knows
out. So, I mean, I see that not only in our like disagreements that we have
mm-hmm
where like I can look back and you've expressed that to me that it's just like, okay, lay off. Like like I just don't feel that's a good thing for us. Like we should just not do that. And I'm just like, but I really wanted it.
Certainly.
You know, so like I can see that about myself now,
yeah,
you know, but it was twofold. I got hung up on that one. What was the other? I don't remember what the other end was. Apparently that was what was important to say. So
I guess so. Yeah. The Lord will, he will, he's awesome. I mean, he knows all. So
yeah,
it's not that, you know, once you've literally yielded your life to the Lord and said, you know, literally, not my will, but thy will.
Mm-hmm.
He says, okay,
yep,
you said it. I'm taking that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't wait for you to say, well, let me. well, hold on. He's like, no. Come on, you over here now. I got you.
Yeah.
And he'll start moving you where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And even if you don't realize why you're there, you don't understand why you went through it. You don't understand what you're doing here. I don't like these people. Mm-hmm. I don't like it here. And God is using all of it for the next phase.
Yeah.
For His glory, first
for
of
His
all.
And there may be things you literally never come to understand in this lifetime.
Yeah, I agree. Certainly.
Yeah. And you have to be okay with that. It's a sacrificial thing to follow God, you know.
Yeah,
but it's better than you could ever imagine. You know, he knows.
That's beautiful. Question 3. What do you think causes the majority of our disagreements?
Yes, not arguments. Our disagreements.
That was for you.
Oh, I just talked a lot. What would you say?
Oh, I mean, just being, I want to say just being black. just being opinionated. I mean, people grow up, how you grow up and how you, you know, how you function is based off of your experience, your environments, of how the people talked in your household.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it or did you not like it?
Mm-hmm.
How they reacted, how they related to each other. Did you like it or not like it? Sometimes we find ourselves in a position where, you know, that sins of the father thing.
Yeah.
God doesn't attribute your sins, but those natures and those ways, it's like you get them.
Yeah, it's in your DNA.
It's in you. And and having an understanding is like, oh, man, people, if they grow up arguing, it's natural for you to grow up arguing.
Right.
And you don't think nothing of it. If they grow up not really caring for the Lord, it's natural for you to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So our disagreements are just rooted in life, environments, and how we grew up.
I mean, that's true. Like, what you take issue with can be, like, formed by that.
Absolutely.
You did remind me of what the other part of it was.
What was
by
it?
Saying that? Because the other thing with me, like, overdoing it with, like, what I'm bringing up or not letting go of stuff, but mainly the wanting to bring everything up part. Because disagreements, we established that disagreements are just differences in opinion, you know, but like that you're trying to discuss.
Yeah.
But like arguing is when it gets to a different emotional level, you know, and physical level and everything. But I definitely have caused a lot of disagreements by just bringing up things when I could have just not, or or carrying things out when I could have let it fizzle out. But part of that for me was also from a fear of, like, when I was a kid, I just didn't say anything ever.
Right.
And I was just telling my friend this the other day. There's a comfort level with you where I think, I don't know when the moment was, but like where I realized he's not going to leave me. He's not going to hurt me physically or verbally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's not, like I'm actually safe to express myself.
Right.
You know, and I don't have to be afraid of what the repercussions of that are with you. You know, so it's like, that's a good thing.
Yes.
In
certain regards. Yes.
But I also had like a fear of like resenting you because there's people in my life who have done certain things to me that I never even reacted to in the moment, you know, like small scale things, big scale things, you know, where it's like, I would just smile. All right.
Right.
You know, okay. and like, oh, well, thank you. And they'd be thanking me and stuff like, thank you for doing X, Y, Z. It's like, you were actually supposed to pay me back, but you're welcome.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and I wouldn't say anything or do anything. And I would always come off as pleasant and receptive.
Right.
You know, and that's bad.
Certainly.
That is bad.
Right.
You know, because as you were saying, things need to be addressed. And it's not fair to a person when you've never addressed something and let it fester.
Right.
Over a long period of time. And then one day you're just, I can't with you no more. It's like, where did that come from?
Irreconcilable difference.
Absolutely. Or as you have said before, I bring up something 7 years later and you're like, I don't even remember what you're talking about. And I can't even properly like defend myself or tell you what my thought process was.
Right.
Like I can't even respond appropriately or fairly in my own defense. Because I don't even remember what you're talking about. And because it was a hurtful thing to you, you remember.
Mm-hmm.
But because I didn't even realize it was an issue, why would I hold on to that?
Gone.
It's gone for me.
Right.
You know, and I'm in a situation now where I'm in family therapy with a family member. And, you know, just because I never said anything.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Like, because it. I never said anything.
Right.
And now I feel a need to say things.
Yes.
In order for us to be able to move forward, like, in a healthy way. Mm. But, like, but there's resentment there.
Right.
And there's, like, this underlying, I hate that uncomfortable feeling of, like, wanting so badly to just be happy in a relationship with someone, mm-hmm. you know, but, like, having this underlying angst mm-hmm. of, like, but I am mad at you.
Right.
And, like, and I'm actually resenting you for things, but because of my uncomfortability with conflict, mm-hmm. I would rather just keep pushing it under.
Right.
Right. Just, it's always an undercurrent, though.
Yes.
And then it's inauthentic. It's right. just like this weird, and I hate that feeling. And mm-hmm. like, I don't want that with you.
Right.
Like, I'm scared of that with you. I right. do not want to resent you or be holding anything against you. And so what?
You keep going.
Okay. So like, I think in me trying to combat that fear and just coming to that realization about myself about like, wait a minute, like you can say that's not okay or no, mm-hmm. or you know, or express how you feel about something, like let your opinion be at least weighed into matters or whatever. Like, you don't have to just be dragged around, you know. So it was like this combination of me trying to stand up for myself.
Yeah.
As well as like trying to make sure that I never resent you.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
But you don't want it to become where every single day, well, could you just put the mayonnaise on the other side of the bread?
Right.
You know? Yes. Where it's just like, okay, no. Like,
just no.
Thank you for my sandwich. Yes. You know, that's where,
because
all those little disagreements and nags, you know, it's just like, you could have just, it's mercy. Fine.
I was just, when you were talking, I was just thinking of the fact that, you know, God puts us together for a certain reason. And we've both had some, you know, experiences as children that would be the same, mm-hmm. where it's like it wasn't confrontational. And, you know, I'm a stewer.
Yeah.
I'll stew.
I'm a stewer, too.
Right.
I am.
So now God has blessed us with each other, you know, I mean, pure of heart. I have no desire to hurt anyone, mm-hmm. and neither do you. Mm-hmm. So now we're free to be able to not stew.
Yeah.
With
Amen.
Each other.
Amen.
And that God also, and I was also thinking that, you know, it's harder for you to kind of be a certain way without me knowing. I mean, I consider myself to be very aware mm-hmm. and discerning, where some people are more oblivious. I'm not the oblivious type of person. Mm-hmm. People would wear masks and I could tell that they're going through something. And I would say, yeah, you look like you're going through something. It's like, well, yeah, I know. I can tell. So it's just beautiful just when you say that, having that understanding, you know, because I'm, you know, I wasn't confrontational many times too, mm-hmm. but it didn't do a service. It didn't help us. And the caveat to what I was saying, like, when I said a few minutes ago, in some instances, we're not talking about like when you were a child and your parents were telling you what to do.
Right.
Like, I just need to express myself. It's like, no. And we ain't right. talking about that. We're talking about, you know, grown people in marriage or even right. in relationships. Like that's different than when you're a child. You need to, in certain respects, kind of just do what you're told.
Absolutely. I mean, yes. And that's for life. If someone's in authority over you, you don't need to be going back and forth with the person who's in charge all the time. Well,
not all the time.
Not all the time.
Now, it's fine to express your opinion, mm-hmm. but what I, at least in my, you know, in my experience, it's like I express my opinions all the time.
Yes.
And they're welcomed.
True.
Because, well, here, this is a whole nother issue. It's like sometimes, this is what I said to men, it's like you want people to trust you, but you're not trustworthy.
Yeah.
It's like you want to give your opinion, but your opinion doesn't carry any weight mm-hmm. because of your character.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, it's not enough for you to want something without having rapport. Mm-hmm. I'm a big rapport guy.
Yeah.
So I can give my opinion.
Yeah, it has to be appropriate.
It has to be appropriate.
You have to, use right? wisdom in when,
yeah,
when
not
and
for
how.
You, it's not for you to be arguing with your boss all the time because you don't agree. It's just like, first of all, if you don't agree all the time, then go start your own business. Nobody, you ain't got to be here.
Or get a different job.
Or get one a different job, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not to say that they're wrong or right. It's just a matter of, like, people who are kingdom citizens, Christians, like, we yield to authority.
Yeah.
It's like, you yield to authority.
Yeah.
Like, we are yielded to the authority of Christ.
Absolutely.
Consistently. And so now we don't have problems. People who are real kingdom citizens, like, they don't have problems with their boss. Why would you have a problem with your boss? Mm-hmm. They trying to do something to me. Are they? They're trying to fire you? Why are they trying to fire you? They just want to get me. It's like, no. It's because you're pitiful.
Or
they're trying to fire you because you're pitiful.
Or because they are not in Christ.
Yeah.
And they just are themselves in the flesh, which you would be too if you were not in Christ.
Which is funny.
And you need to just pray for them and not take it personally.
Yeah, just out here.
A lot of not taking it personally needs to happen.
It's true for me too.
Yeah.
I'll take it personal, Chelsea.
Me too.
But yeah, that confrontation thing is like when you just bottle all the stuff inside. What I realize is that all the times when I've huddled on the stuff, I'm more mad at the fact that I didn't say anything than the fact of what they said.
Mm.
I would have felt 100 times better if I would have said what I felt and not held it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But that's where that confrontation comes in. Mm-hmm. And you can let it fly. But that's kind of two different strokes there. But that just refers back to the heart of our disagreements is how we were raised. And, you know, our disagreements actually still stem from, like, lack of confrontation as children.
Yeah, probably. Imagine
that. Yeah. Not with our parents, though. Mm-hmm. At least not mine.
Right.
Ain't going to be no confronting up in here, boy.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
All right. How could we improve in how we handle disagreements and arguments?
I'll be honest with you. I don't feel like we need much improvement, to be frank. I mean, I guess we could improve. It's weird to say not taking it personal with your wife or your husband.
Yeah.
Or I would say maybe not taking it to heart.
Yeah.
And knowing that. And I honestly would say that'd be more for you than me. But even still.
Yeah, I take things very personally.
You take it personally, right?
Very.
Of course, it's hard not to take it personally when it's your husband or wife.
It's like, oh, well, Ron, yeah. I don't like oatmeal. I prefer cream of wheat.
Yes.
You buy oatmeal again. He doesn't love me.
Daily bring you oatmeal.
Yeah.
Daily I show bring you oatmeal. But yeah. not taking things to heart, but I feel like we actually do a really good job, even of disagreeing, and just knowing each other. Like, we don't really go off the rails ever, not really in arguing. We've had seldom arguments, and even then they weren't like yelling.
No, we don't yell at each other.
No.
Too much, no.
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 Yeah.
And I think that's, yeah, I mean, we're going to get into all that, too. But disagreements, I think we do okay. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because our disagreements don't turn into arguments that often. True. I feel like that's a sign that you're doing well when you disagree, is when it's not escalating all the time. And neither one of us is, like, secretly unhappy in the marriage because there was no resolution, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think we're doing okay with that. But arguing... When we do argue, I think that we could improve with, like, trying to be more clear about resolution. Okay. And just making sure it's not an assumption that we ended in understanding.
Okay, that's fair.
'Cause our arguments are recurring. We don't really have new arguments. Our arguments are always the same for the most part, in my opinion.
Well, it's hard to remember. We don't argue that much.
We don't, but I mean, for me, I remember them quite well because of that, because it's not often.
Yeah, I remember at least the last one I'm thinking of. And maybe I feel like you might be right, that's the bad part. I remember the last one. That probably is, I mean, I feel like JJ was alive, right?
Yeah.
But the one before that, no clue. That's why it's hard for me to tell. So I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. I think our arguments have a common theme, like a common issue that's like a struggle that we have. And that just may be one of those things where sometimes there's just certain things that don't, where it's just the person you are and the person I am, like, we just butt heads in that area. Maybe. You know, it may just be that type of thing, but like,
I don't think so though for that argument. I think that
could you, in a very just brief and shallow way, tell me what you're referring to?
Oh, I mean, well, if I'm remembering, the last argument we had is where basically you needed me to have an understanding that you were going through something concerning all the changing, right? And I should have empathy to understand that the plans I was making were changing your plans.
Oh, and that's the one I'm thinking about. That one, yeah.
That's the one I was thinking about. That they were changing your plans, and I should have an understanding that I'm not always just. I forgot about the. Now I remember. I'm looking at it. the square.
Oh yeah, that's the one I was thinking about.
I forgot about it.
Yeah,
but yeah, the one I'm
because that was a bigger one than the. Yeah. But I remember I was in the kitchen. You were sitting in a chair.
Right.
When you were this one.
Yeah, but
this is how I remember things because I see it.
You see it.
Oh yeah, we were there and we were doing that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but the one I was remembering, I just remembered that the one I was remembering was yes, it's like hey, I'm making plans and when I make plans, sometimes they change your plans and I need to be more understanding that. I don't always have to, that you're not going to just always be just okay. Like,
right.
I'm just supposed to be okay with the fact that you just completely changed my plans. Mm-hmm. And that's where it was coming from. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's more of a communication and understanding thing.
That's the part, though. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just super important for us to just make sure that at the end of an argument, there is mutual understanding.
Yes.
You know, because it's not always going to be immediately resolved. And sometimes it's going to take multiple conversations.
Right.
Hopefully not multiple arguments, but it's important that there comes to be mutual understanding and some sort of resolution. You know, and like I said, resolution sometimes looks like compromise and sometimes looks like somebody conceding. Mm. You know, it depends.
Yeah.
But like. Yeah. Anyway, but I think even if there was no resolution yet, there needs to be understanding. Mm-hmm. Like just for us to both understand where each other was coming from and that and like and what our goal is.
What is the goal?
What is the end goal of this conversation?
Yes.
Not that we just had it and then we just got tired of having it and then we stopped.
Yeah, you know what? And I think it really is it from your side, I would say fruitful and like, you know, correct communication. And for me is understanding mm-hmm. and empathy. Because even going back to the square where I said to you, like, hey, I just need you to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm remembering now.
I'm sorry. And it was such a funny.
Yeah, it was funny. But but I remember now that you bring up like, hey, I've like, because I'm saying like, hey, this isn't even important. Like, just mm-hmm. why you always got to say something about everything type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying like, do you know how much stuff that I didn't say something about?
Yeah.
Whereas it may have been better if you did say something.
Yeah.
And sometimes you did, but maybe it wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should have let more of it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's something that's been a trend in my life, too, where mm-hmm. like people don't take me seriously. Mm-hmm. And that is I struggle with that so much because yes. It's like, what do I need to act like a park ape for people to?
What do I got to do?
Yeah. I'm like, golly, like I said what I said.
Yes.
You should care without me yelling and acting a fool.
That's a fair
you
point.
Know, like I hate that. But
because
like there have been many times. But however, I think that. In order to like protect other people's feelings or like not come off as like too pushy or like strong, mm-hmm. I will water stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
So like I have realized like, okay, like I gotta be more straight with things when it's like serious.
Right.
You know, like if it's really serious and important to me, I need to just come straight out and say it and not be like afraid mm-hmm. to do that or feel that I'm doing something wrong.
Yes.
By just
absolutely
saying what I said, you know.
Yep. And that's fair. And you never were. You were never wrong. And this is where it's just like I think in the Christian faith where we kind of get this kind of wimpy sort of.
Yeah.
And it's not to call people weak, but we get it confused where we feel like we have to be so nice that we can't tell the truth.
Yeah.
And I am like vehemently fighting against that
you
nature
are. Yeah.
That has been like ingrained in us. Like, hey, you're not supposed to just say anything. Kind of just go along. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, God did not call us to go along. He told us to, you know. Tell the truth. He just told us to do it in love.
That's it.
But
that's
what we're trying to do is do it in love by not saying anything because we think that that's helpful. It's not. It's actually detrimental to everybody.
Yeah, the Bible actually says if you have aught against your brother, go to him.
Specifically.
Do not let the sun go down on your anger.
Yep.
You know, if you... oh gosh, what else? Like you said, speak the truth in love. Like cry loud and spare not, especially when it comes to
to people drawing.
To people like blaspheming or just totally being just in sin.
Right.
You know, if someone is what is it, if someone is overtaken in a fault, you restore them.
Right.
That's what gets real dangerous.
In a spirit of meekness.
In a spirit of meekness. You know, but like that's what gets real serious is when people are like really in sin and just, oh, but I don't want to offend them. Right. I don't want to hurt their feelings.
Right.
So it's like, so you'd rather them go to hell or I mean, if they're unsaved, let's be real.
Right.
You'd rather them to go to hell than hurt their feelings.
Right.
Or if like it's just detrimental to them. Maybe they're not going to hell. Maybe they believe in Jesus Christ and they've received him as their savior, but not made him their Lord. You know, so they're just living however they want to live, but it's detrimental to them.
Right.
You're letting them destroy their self in order to protect their feelings.
Yeah.
You know, that's where that stuff gets real murky. However, it should always be in love, and you should always like ask the Lord to lead you, because there's proper time. There's proper rapport. You may not actually be the one to say it to them. It may need to be somebody that's closer to them that they're going to receive it from better.
Yes.
You know, so it may not always be your place. You know, it has to be time, place, the right words to say, the right approach. You know, sometimes the approach does have to be, you know, snap out of it. What are you doing? You're crazy. Sometimes you got to grab them by the collar and shake them.
I forgot who was that guy in the office telling, because people was like, I'm just afraid of the closet. He said, all right, I got the solution. Stop doing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just oh, stop man. Doing it.
Thank you. Right. Oh, that was so funny. It was a YouTube video from.
Oh, man.
Like an old sketch show.
That's what it was, a sketch show.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's telling people.
Stop it. It was called Stop It.
It was called Stop It. Oh, yeah. He comes in, hey, my price is only $5, and I'm sure this won't be more than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And he tells him, this is what I'm doing. Like, I just can't stop, you know, eating spiders or something.
Right.
And he just says, all right, you have my solution? Stop it.
Anything
and
else?
Just like, anything else? It's like, oh, but I just, no. Stop it. Thank you. That'll be $5. I don't take cash.
That was hilarious.
Oh, man.
Nah, but my mom is in school to become a therapist, and that was one of the videos they had her watch for her education. Yes. And they were just talking about how when people are really struggling, you know, like with something, you can't just tell them to stop it. It's not that simple.
Yeah.
Like you have to get to the root of things and all kinds of stuff.
See? Yep. There it is. The root. Chelsea.
Yeah.
And the root is it says before you look at your brother and say you have a beam in your eye or something. And it says, first of all, get the beam out of your eye. That way you can rightly see how to get the beam out of the other one's eye.
And it actually says.
Speak it right.
Yeah, I think it actually says you're talking about the twig in their eye. They got like a little teeny stick in their eye, and you got a whole piece of a beam of wood.
A beam of wood.
Yeah,
it's like a whole tree coming out your face.
And that's what you were saying about like people don't want your opinion because it don't have any merit.
My Lord, ain't lying.
You're not trustworthy.
You need to stop all that fornicating. It's like you are a pimp, sir.
Okay.
Are those deaconesses or those,
I don't sleep with them. I just sell them to other people. Like,
yeah, I think you might want to go bark up another tree with that.
That's
one, sir.
Hilarious. No, it's true though, and that's why number one thing you hear from people: why don't you like coming to church? They're hypocrites.
Yes, and sometimes they're right. Well, you got that one.
Right. Sometimes.
Sorry.
Have mercy.
Not to say because some people just use that as an excuse.
Sometimes.
Right, but sometimes that's been their experience. Matter of fact, if they say that, that's probably been their experience. People have been saying like, oh, let's do this, do that, and then they do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to count the actual process of sanctification.
I was going
to
say,
because we are not, we'll never be perfect, but where you are is where you are. If the Lord is working on you, praise the Lord. Thank the God. Like, you have to get things right in your life. It doesn't make you a hypocrite. It makes you human.
Yeah. And there has to be, for a lot of people that call Christians hypocrites, it's a lack of understanding that because we're a Christian, we're not saying we're perfect.
Exact,
we're just saying
exact
that
opposite.
We're
not
saying,
perfect.
But we're saying that we are every day, you know, recommitting to this process of sanctification,
dying daily,
and that we just are trying to share that gospel with you, amen, that the Lord wants to do the same for you, but it's little by little, you know. So it's either that lack of understanding or it's your approach, which is why you really have to be led by the Spirit in those things.
Yeah.
Because if you come at them all judgmental and they're like, but.
All right. Let's look in this book.
Here's a question, Ron. Do you want to? I feel like we should start with the last question and then I'm at the last scripture and then circle back to the ones we kept from last time. That's what I feel in my spirit.
Okay. Well, go ahead and read that last scripture.
Okay. So we have here Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. This is the ESV. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. There's layers. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Layers. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. A quick overview. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. So if your spouse, that includes your spouse, if your spouse, you know, if you have aught against them, if they've done something that you feel was wrong toward you, mm-hmm. you know, it's okay to tell them. You know, the Bible is saying, go tell them, you know.
Certainly.
But between you and him alone. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people have issues where they out in the street. You know what my man did? Mm-hmm. He did it, and you trashing your man's name in the street, trashing your wife's name in the street, going to everybody but your spouse. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that type of stuff. It says the first step is go to them in private.
Right.
Second part, if he listens to you, mm-hmm. that requires that your spouse listen to you and not just immediate. We've talked about this before. Immediately get defensive and just, what? Well, that's why your breath stinks. Yep, you know, if you have to actually be open to listening to your spouse when they come to you.
Yeah.
That also, if you don't want to trigger those walls going up, you have to watch the way you come to your spouse. Mm. You don't want to come to your spouse and be like, Bill, I'm sick of your stuff.
Right.
You know, you want to say, hey, Bill, you know, you've been doing X, Y, Z, and it's really bothering me. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a difference. You want to come to them right. And yeah. then the spouse, you want to respond right, you know.
Yeah.
And then it says, if they listen to you, you have gained your brother.
Yeah.
You know, you've maintained the relationship.
Sure.
But if they do not listen, and if it really is something of eager importance, then we have to make this relative to marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's really something of importance that is not a simple thing of just like let it go or just take it to the Lord, like if it really is like serious, you know, it says take one or two others along with you. It does not say go tell everybody your business.
You choose who.
Yeah. And one thing they told us in premarital counseling was that we should agree on people
right.
that we tell things about our marriage.
Yeah.
And I actually think that was wise counsel.
Yeah.
Because your spouse may actually be totally uncomfortable with you sharing personal information about them with the people that you're choosing to do so mm-hmm. with. And once again, we want those to be like people who are in Christ and people who have merit
yeah.
that are going to give you godly wisdom to the best of their ability. Mm-hmm. That every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Sometimes you need neutral parties, mm-hmm. you know, that can come in and not take anybody's side and see it more
yeah,
objectively.
That's very seasoned, though.
Very. And then it says, if they refuse to listen to them, tell it to the church.
Right.
Go to your pastor
yeah.
and first lady and say, hey, we're struggling. We need help. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, it says, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. That is the part we really, really need to make relative to marriage.
Yeah.
Because you are not in covenant with anyone other than your spouse. and you've made a covenant with your spouse and with the Lord, you know, till in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, mm-hmm. all that type of stuff, till death do us part, outside of infidelity.
Sure.
And I'm sure outside of like serious danger.
Sure.
You know, I'm sure if your spouse is like really hurting you, you know, mm-hmm. that needs to be, you may
sure.
need to separate, you know. go ahead.
Yeah, I think we have to really talk about the implications of you know, what's actually being said. It says, you know, if you go and tell them what they've done, and if he listens, great, right? If he or she listens, that's great. If they don't, then you have to go get one or two. Number one, we've already established these people have to have merit. And then it says if that doesn't work, then you go to the church. It's talking about community.
Yeah.
It's like, number one, you can't go to a church if you don't have a church.
Mercy.
You can't go to the community to find people that's like, oh, man, I got to find somebody. Because once again, it's not always good for you as a man or a woman to say, let's go to my parents and my parents. My parents are married. But it's like, you know, naturally, they're going to be more inclined to be whoever on my side.
Yeah.
Maybe not my parents, because they're, like I said, very
seasoned.
Your
parents are different.
They're very seasoned.
Yeah.
My father's on the Lord's side, and Linda's on her side. So that's not helping me at all, right?
Your mom is low-key on my side.
She's on your side, right?
That is funny.
It ain't even low-key. She's just on your side. But you have to have community.
Yeah.
Actually be in a church and be able to observe and say, oh, these people have merit. Let's have them help us with the problem. And then it speaks with the biggest implication. Treat that person as a Gentile or a tax collector, somebody who don't even know God. Are we even equally yoked in the first place?
Yeah.
This is where is really the heart of this root is like, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Yeah.
It's different if you started off and you weren't. There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
But if you're getting into something and you're saying, hey, I want to marry this person, hey, are y'all equally yoked?
Because
if you're not, it's like you're stuck with an unbeliever or a Gentile, which really just all unbelief, right?
Yeah.
You're stuck with an unbeliever, and now this is your spouse. You can't separate from them.
Mm-hmm.
If this was the case, as where it's just two people, I can say, hey, man, look, you won't listen to God, you won't listen to sound counsel, you won't listen to me, done with you.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you're in covenant with this person.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the heart of it in pertaining to marriage concerning this scripture. Do not be unequally yoked and have community.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For sure.
Yeah.
And
that was Matthew 18.
Yes.
15.
I do want to say, too, as far as the community part, it says the serpent went to Eve.
Yeah.
It doesn't say the serpent went to Adam and Eve and said, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-oh.
You know, it says he went to Eve and he said, hey. And it's like he was able to persuade her, And then after she alone, you know, just alone with her own thoughts, with the enemy attacking her with all of this foolishness, trying to appeal to her flesh, you know, her getting screwed up by herself. Then she goes to her husband and tries to convince him too, you know. But you definitely don't want to seclude yourselves, as individuals or as a couple. Like it's a trick of the enemy, especially when you look at like the signs of depression and stuff like that. A lot of times, people who are depressed, it's like you automatically just want to withdraw.
Yeah.
And the reason you want to withdraw is because when you're around other people, you're held accountable to not stay depressed.
There you go.
And people get real defensive when they have their own. Sometimes you know you're wrong.
Yeah.
You don't want to accept that you're wrong, though. And then it's like, I don't want to have to talk to people that are going to make me have to confess that I'm wrong and hold me accountable to change.
Yeah.
You know, so you definitely don't want to shun community and correction.
Oh, certainly. That is at the heart of a Christian walk.
For sure.
Is actual accountability
and
community. Because you can't, if left to your own devices, you'll stray.
Mm-hmm.
This man, oh my gosh, Tim Ross said it is literally one of the best things I've heard in a long time. And I don't want to steal from him because I'm not trying to, but just saying that, you know, he was preaching a sermon about, you know, being a ship and being anchored in Christ, and that we think that is the storms of life that cause people to drift away. And he said, on a perfect day with perfect weather, even a ship with no anchor will drift away.
That is so true.
It's like it has nothing to do with the storm. It's like you have to be anchored in Christ, because it doesn't matter what's going on. If you are not anchored, you will drift away.
I literally just read a devotional yesterday because I'm in the book of Job, and it's a devotional on the book of Job.
Yeah.
And it was talking about how because Job was anchored before all those things happened to him, he was able to say, even still, my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to, you know, see him, and he's still got, I have no charge against him or anything like that. But it was because he was anchored before the time of testing came.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. But that, it's just that having that community, that accountability, is part of the anchoring in Christ. He doesn't mm-hmm. leave you to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's where we think it's not mythical. It's not even super deep. Mm-hmm. It's like Jesus Christ, you accept him. He gives you the Holy Spirit and he gives you community.
Amen.
Gets people to walk beside you. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, he can't go make you get up and go to church, but he will certainly offer and say, hey, maybe you should go to that church.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go here. You know?
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So that was the preface. And we're talking literally about how are we doing it? It's concerning yelling mm-hmm. or hollering.
Stop hollering at Jesus.
Stop hollering.
Stop hollering at the Lord.
James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Yeah.
I feel like the next verse says anger does not produce something like the godliness that God desires for you or something yeah. like that.
And we've said this one so many times at this point, but it's just so relevant when it comes to marriage.
Super relevant. It's like, please, both of you, brothers and sistren. He didn't just say husbands or wives, all y'all.
Right.
Take note of this. And he said it's noteworthy.
Yeah.
Please take note of this. Be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, because if you listen first, you can respond properly.
Mm-hmm.
And this does not discount the fact that you may still have a disagreement, but you won't be disagreeing about two completely different things,
right.
thinking that you had an understanding.
And you have time to check yourself and not have that defensive response.
Certainly. That helps. That's right. That's at the heart of it. It's like, yes, that's that pride. Like when pride comes up, that ego comes up. It's like, oh, you got something to say?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got I got something to say.
Right.
It's like, no. Listen to what they're saying to you.
Yeah.
Especially concerning your spouse. This person is not your enemy. Say it with me. My spouse is not my enemy.
Amen.
They actually love you.
Yeah.
And they are saying this to you because it's important to them and it is affecting the fabric of our relationship.
Yeah.
And you are tearing it by what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't stop, it creates a problem.
Wow.
So I need you to hear what I'm saying specifically so that you can internalize it. Think about what I said before you respond. It's okay to respond. Mm-hmm. He said, be quick. He said, it's okay to. He said, speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, be slow to become angry. Be angry and sin not. It's okay for you to actually be angry at what they said.
That's so true. That's not the sin.
You can be angry. Like, I didn't like what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But you're slow about it. Take your time with it. Be angry and sin not. Say what you have to say, but say what you mean and properly address what you heard.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yelling really just has no place. There's never a time
really
that you should be yelling.
Nah, unless you're yelling, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for my wife. Other than that, thank you.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay. Yes. That's it. That's it.
That's it. Good.
That's it.
Okay.
All right. And the next one is nasty comments / tearing down. These are reviews from last week, the yelling and the nasty comments and tearing down. Because last week, the number three reason was poor communication. So Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Speaks for itself. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that always needs it whenever you two. And I'm even led to say right now, like maybe even if you're going to come together and say, hey, if one of you needs to present a problem, you know, or say like, you know, if you know, sometimes disagreements are sneaky. Sometimes you're having a conversation and all of a sudden you're like, dang, we just started disagreeing out of nowhere. Like just in the middle of the day, like we were just talking and then
Ron and Chelsea.
Oh, well, I don't like bananas. Well, I do like bananas. Well, we don't need to buy bananas. Yes, we do.
Because I like them.
Well, how come? Well, just because you don't like them don't mean we don't need to have them in the house. You know, so so we ain't talking about those. But if you literally are about to go to your spouse and say like, hey, there's something I have issue with you, you may want to say, you know what, can we pray before we talk? And you may even want to say to them, is this a good time? You know, like what if they just had a really hard day?
Yes.
And I can't say these are things I've actually done before, but
help a Lord.
Let me be very clear in saying that we are not these people that are like, we are perfect at marriage and we're just perfect at Christianity. We should start a podcast.
Raggedy.
Because we know exactly what to tell you. You know, like we're literally just like sharing what the Lord is giving to us as far as wisdom and understanding go as we are working on implementing these things and learning.
Yeah.
And learning ourselves. Sometimes we find scriptures in preparation for this podcast we ain't never read before. And we're like, that's good.
Oh, man.
You know, so we are being enlightened at the same time that we are sharing.
Stop cussing. Oh, what scripture is that? Where's that found? Stop cussing.
I didn't know they talked about cussing in the Bible.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No, but you may want to go to your spouse and say, hey, you know, I really need to talk to you about something that's bothering me. Is this a good time? Mm. You know, and on the receiving end, if it's not a good time, you may say, not right now, but hey, why don't we try? And then give them a time. Mm. Don't just say like, oh, yeah, another time. Because then it's just like now the person has to keep awkwardly coming to, is it a good time now?
Certainly.
Yeah. So maybe schedule it like, you know what? Let's talk about it tomorrow morning or let's talk about it tomorrow after dinner or after we put the kids to bed or whatever. And you may want to pray like when that time comes, you may want to just, hey, Lord, you know, just help. Guide us through this conversation. Help us, Lord.
Set the terms. Yeah. It almost sets a boundary. It says, hey, we're not going to get outside of this space.
Yeah.
And we're in a loving space.
Yeah.
Let's remember, we love the Lord. He loves us. He don't be out just yelling at you. He comes in the still, small, quiet. Imagine that. God comes in a still, small, quiet voice, and I'm out here yelling. Imagine how arrogant that is. How arrogant you got to be out here yelling at people, and God actually humbles himself and just say, hey, man, could you stop cussing? But I'm sitting there thinking about Lionel Richie saying, it's a Yara Breck house. It's like when you actually think about building up and edifying, it's like think of your spouse as like building bricks.
Yeah, like the goal is always healing and building.
Healing and building. Like, yeah. I'm going to build you up. Like, what brick can I add to you today? Like, what foundational structure can I add to you today to make our relationship even stronger? Mm-hmm. Think about it like that.
Yeah, so don't be reckless.
Yeah, don't be out here reckless.
The goal is never to harm. It says the words of the reckless pierce like swords.
Certainly.
You're not out here to cut your spouse down and harm them and hurt them and be a detriment to them.
Yeah, lay them bricks.
Yeah, it's always build them up, heal them.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
I'm very happy to be in this process with you. I love you very much.
I love you too.
These 8 years have been wonderful, honestly. I mean, we've had some rough times, but with that love and relationship, and when I look back, it doesn't seem like it was that bad. It probably seemed worse in the moment, but we just had some good times, and the Lord's blessed us tremendously.
Amen.
And I'm grateful to him. We're grateful for you all, whoever's listening. Do whatever you feel. I don't care what it is. We're going to be here every week as long as the Lord allows, and we're going to be glad to do it. It's a blessing. I love you.
Love you too.
Blue butt. And we love you all. So we will see y'all next week. Reason number 5, how to not get divorced.
Amen.